The opinions that you may hear us express, expressly or otherwise, over the public's airways, is in no way to represent the opinions expressed or otherwise by our management, producers, sponsors, or various members of their staffs or their families or few friends.
Nor should these views express the opinions of the broadcasters, the disc jockeys, the salesmen, the program and music directors, and their secretaries and girlfriends and wives and their staff.
Unless, of course, we are willing to assume that we can assume the responsibility that their opinions will not influence anyone else's opinions.
Or their family and friends.
And staff.
All right.
Got it?
Yeah.
That covers it.
It does.
We're good.
We haven't been able to add to it. Our attorneys have been looking.
That's right.
But they think that pretty much does it all.
They're going over it with a fine-tooth comb.
That's right.
Whatever that is. A fine tooth comb.
We're just waiting to get sued, and then whenever we do, then we add something in.
That's right.
Okay.
You got it. 7 minutes past the hour, it's the John and Gordy Show, live and direct from downtown Madison for a Monday morning. 608-879-8255 is our phone number. Hey, before we go any further, it's time for us to reveal the key word of this hour. Now, if you were listening last week, you know we kicked off our Ride into Spring contest. It's a text-to-win contest. That means you need to text us with your entry on the Civic Media app. That's the way to enter. So if you don't have the Civic Media app, you got to download it. It's free, it's fast, and it's easy. Kind of like my first wife. She was, never mind. Wow. Let's go into something else. Wow. Oh, you can
I
listen
no
every
idea.
Day.
I had no idea you were getting so personal.
She's not listening. You can listen every weekday for the keyword at 7:10, 1 and 3 for your chance to stay an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Boy, did we ever have a good time at the Christmas party there last year. That was wonderful. You can enter to, you're also entered to win one of two grand prizes with every entry. You could win one of those grand prizes when we select those. That includes new bikes. We've got outdoor patio furniture, a 3-in-1 blender, all kinds of cool stuff. But this hour's keyword is...
What is it? What is it?
Vacation. Vacation. Okay, so you text to win, get on the Civic Media app. Get on that app, go to the WMDX, the Mad Radio portion of that app, or any of our 20 radio stations on there, and you can text to win. Again, the keyword this hour is
vacation.
What is
vacation. The keyword? Vacation.
Vacation. Vacation. You got to text
in. Like the Go-Go song, Vacation, right?
Vacation, da, da, da. Yeah, that one. Vacation. You have to text.
Vacation is the word then, right?
Vacation is the keyword for this hour, John.
All right.
There'll be other keywords at 10, 1, and 3.
But vacation is the word this time.
Vacation is the word to text in before 8 o'clock this morning, okay? All right. It's a statewide contest. Vacation.
Yeah.
Now, whatever happened to the Go-Go's.
That's nice.
They were okay. Great.
Hey, are you ready for your part in this?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? Eric Hovde?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Eric Hovde.
He's
and
a comedian. What a great funny guy he is.
He's stand up again, and he's got another bit.
Okay.
Okay, but he was doing this bit way back in 2012 when he was running up against Herb Kohl for the Senate seat that he's got his eye on that Senate seat. He's not going to give up.
Keep trying. Keep trying, buddy.
He's going to keep trying.
Yeah.
But, you know, he loves the old version of the healthcare system, and didn't everybody else just love that one, too?
Yeah.
Before the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Yeah, no.
No one did like it. But anyway, Hovde's unsuccessfully run effort to take out Herb Kohl failed, of course, miserably.
Yeah.
And maybe this interview that he had on Wisconsin Eye had something to do with it, and he was talking about getting rid of the Affordable Care Act even before it was implemented. Go ahead. Let's listen.
The last time we talked, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling hadn't upheld the Affordable Care Act. Now it has. So the tectonic plates of health care in America are moving towards the 2014 effective date.
Yeah.
Next steps on the affordable health care?
Yeah, I believe we need to completely repeal it.
Total repeal.
A complete repeal. I think we need to go in the exact opposite direction. How our healthcare system worked for the first 210 plus years of our country's history before the government ever became ever increasingly involved. So I think it's going to destroy the quality of service, and I think it's going to bankrupt our country.
Oh, it did that. It did that, right?
Yeah.
We're bankrupt now. Mm. After all these years of the Affordable Care Act,
yeah,
we have gone bankrupt.
Mm.
Great prediction. Not a good prediction.
So that was during his first campaign run against Herb Cole,
2012.
Okay.
All right. So according to the Daily Beast, the video from Wisconsin Eye shows that inheritance boy Hovde proposed enacting an especially cruel health care measure, charging higher premiums for people living with obesity and reducing the amount of care they received. Unbelievable. You wrap your head around that one. Hovde is unaware of family hereditary diseases, genetically predisposed to certain healthcare issues like obesity. And let's hear out this cut, 572.
Okay.
Trying to get people to take personal responsibility for their own health and shopping for it. Look, we have an explosion of type 2 diabetes right now. Explosion. Obesity is off the charts. You know, we're removing people from being responsible for their own health. If they all started to realize that they're going to pay more for their health care by, you know, consuming, you know, massive amounts of soda every day or fatty foods and not exercising, maybe they would change their behavioral patterns.
Beautiful.
Fine, you want to do that? You become obese, your health care is going to cost more.
Okay.
Or the quality, or not the quality, but the amount of health care may go down because you may not have the money to afford it. You have to force personal responsibility back to people and also make them smart consumers.
Unbelievable. Force. Mm. See, that's how they think.
Yeah.
You got to force this discipline on them because the Republicans certainly know better.
How does that work with people that have family hereditary diseases?
Right.
To force them to not have that disease. Yes.
A good analogy that I can think of right now is with smoking. Like smoking is addictive, obviously, and people will just keep on doing it. Mm-hmm. Like the government had to step in and like tell people, like they had to put warning labels on everything constantly and get people to constantly think about this stuff and make it harder for people to do this sort of thing. And the same thing needs to happen. Yeah, it worked. It worked tremendously well.
Yeah. And, to get rid of smoking indoors, all of that, back 30 years ago.
Doctors at Treat Obesity said that Hovde's remarks are discriminatory and lack understanding of the disease itself.
You think?
In fact, one quote here is, it'd be like charging people more who get cancer or have heart attacks that are due to genetics or due to the polluted environment or due to overabundance of unhealthy food and a lack of access to healthy food. That is the current environment in which a lot of people live.
Mm-hmm.
This would be plain and simply blaming the victim. And my gosh, how many times have we heard that before? Republicans love to blame the victim. Always.
That's it.
There was this Twitter X reaction that made that point. Saying, what is it with the R's always taking a punitive approach to any perceived problem?
Right.
And that's what they do in Wisconsin all the time. You know, it's always the hammer. You know, they're going to starve funding for the UW if they don't do this.
Right.
Instead of convincing them with a better idea. I don't know. Maybe. Right.
Let's go to the John and Gordy hotline. Yes. Mark is on the phone with a question or a comment. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, they hammer in the morning, they hammer all day. I mean, like the old song, but they're not doing it for hammering out justice or anything like that. There's somebody who has, undergone cancer treatment and has a genetically predisposed, a genetic condition. I mean, that Hovde can just go to hell. I mean, I'm just, one of the first things our government actually did, and I might be misremembering from history, is that under the Washington administration, they actually funded treatment, health care for the old soldiers from the Revolutionary War.
Right, yes.
I mean, that government has been involved in health care since our founding. And one of the reasons we revolted against England is because the English government wasn't doing enough for the people in terms of providing services.
Right.
So, I mean, Hovde should get his head out of his butt and actually read a history book. But like so many Republicans, it's an invented history. It's an invented history of just how perfect things were, and but they were never perfect, especially if you were a minority or, look how long it took us to rid ourselves of slavery, that even at the time of our founding, reading the notes to the Constitutional Convention, the arguments that occurred over the how wrong slavery was back then and people that were advocating for it, well, that it was wrong and to our detriment that we had slavery in this country.
Right.
I mean, but it is, is just...
Yeah,
ignorant.
If you take a position like Hovde's, and that was back in 2012, but I'm sure he hasn't changed his opinion whatsoever. But if you just take a look at what he's arguing, of course, this staves off any discussion about universal health care in this country by saying let's go completely back to the way it used to be before the Affordable Care Act, which is absolutely crazy, right? All right.
Sure is.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot. Hovde said he didn't support anything about Obamacare, including its subsidies to help pay for monthly premiums, coverage for Americans with pre-existing conditions, or allowing people to stay on their family's insurance until the age of 26. The country hasn't gone bankrupt as well, and a record 21.3 million people now have health care since the ACA began. The percent of uninsured went from 16% to 7.9%. And if you believe our healthcare system was better back then than now, Hovde is your guy. Okay? Those high-risk pools? They used to have high-risk pools, which failed absolutely miserably. Let's go to track 571 here.
I believe we need to slowly remove the government from our health care and such an extensive role. There is a role for people that are economically struggling because we are in a developed society and you don't want people, suffering and, having no access to health care. But I think you can do that through the premium support system.
That the premium support system, by the way, is like a high-risk pool. It's insuring those with pre-existing conditions and putting them on a separate part of the insurance system. And it was absolutely completely devastating. It was very expensive. And people who bought health insurance, their premiums per month, a part of that went to pay for the high-risk pools. Yeah. So the insurance companies didn't lose any money. They just increased your premiums per month to pay for the high-risk pools that are out there.
Okay. Good enough. 719. And hey, don't forget, Wednesday we will be at Short Stack Eatery, as we are every Wednesday morning from 6 until 8. Short Stack Eatery, 301 West Johnson. We invite you to join us then. Coming up, we've got comedian Nathan Timmel. Also, Brittany Merlot will check in with a look at the weather. Coming right back.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM.
By the way, John, our ride into spring keyword for this hour, and you have to text this in on the Civic Media app.
Let's say it together.
Vacation. Vacation is the keyword.
I don't know why.
For this hour. And you can ride into spring.
Yeah.
You could win prizes. Just text in the Civic Media app only.
Well, okay. Back from her long vacation from our show, the John and Gordon Media Show, it's Brittany Merlot.
She was here on Thursday, wasn't she? Or something like
that.
No.
No, it's a long time ago, right, Brittany?
We can't keep track.
I agree, and I'm buried here in the snow, so it's all
That's right. Yeah, a foot of snow, right?
Yes.
Where are you exactly?
Way up north.
You're up north there.
Way up north.
Yeah.
North of Highway 29, we got hit pretty hard all the way from Eau Claire to basically kind of Rhinelander area, but I'm in Wausau. We recorded 11.6 inches. Even into the Tigerton area over a foot. So just north of Green Bay. I mean, in Green Bay, they got nothing.
Yeah.
And you just head up north. Bam. Finally. Yay.
That's right. You finally got snow.
Okay.
We needed it.
Are you guys locked in? I mean, you can't get out. No one's moving. No one's going to work.
Schools
are closed. No one's going to school.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the north. This is nothing. We get
that's
this.
Right. Okay.
Now we're getting rain. In fact, it just started raining in Madison a few minutes ago here, and I guess what I'm hearing is we could be in for a lot of rain this afternoon and tonight. They're talking about maybe a half an inch or an inch of rain tonight and into tomorrow. Is that what you're seeing?
That is exactly what I'm seeing. So it looks like it's going to start off pretty light, more like sprinkles, light rain. But then as we go into this evening, right around dinner or so, it should start to really ramp up. And even overnight and into tomorrow, we could have thunderstorms too.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
You're kidding. Wow. How about any flash flooding? We got any flooding coming? Because all this rain?
It's definitely possible. When you get that much rain that quickly, we could see that for us, especially north too. If you just got hit with the snowfall, we're getting the rain too on top of foot of snowfall.
Wow.
So that's going to be a slushy, sloppy, rainy mess.
Yeah. Great. All right.
Yeah. Well, more ways to complain.
This is why I don't like spring. Everybody says spring is their favorite season, but it is the melt. It is the slush. It's the slop. It's gross.
It's the messiest time ever. That's why autumn is the best time of the year. Right?
Am I
speaking for everybody on that? I think I am.
Yep.
But so is this helping the farmers out, though, for spring planting and getting ready for what's to come over the next month or two?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Yeah. We needed that so much. I like to call... A lot of people like to say snow is just like a time-released kind of precipitation of rain.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
You like to say that? Really?
I do.
You share that with everybody?
Except for this time. Okay. Except for this time. It's going to melt pretty fast.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time releases.
Enjoy the white as much as you can.
Okay.
All right. Well, Brittany, thanks a lot. We don't have to worry about flooding or anything like that, right? Flash flooding in this area down here.
I mean, your ground is not frozen anymore, so it's going to absorb what it can. It just depends if you're underneath one of those heavy thunderstorms and it just comes down all at once. You could see some localized flash flooding, but I think the majority of widespread should probably be more up north.
All right.
All right, Brittany. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
you got something you want to add?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I think there was one other question. It just went in and out of my head. I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah.
It happens.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you for checking in with us. Always a pleasure. And may good weather be your friend this week.
My goodness sakes. Oh, so well rehearsed for a TV weatherman.
All right.
Take care.
All right, Brittany.
Should we get into the Eric Hovde healthcare stuff again?
I think we should.
There's still even more. Believe it or not, if you can believe this, now these high risk pools that we used to be a part of were very expensive, and people had to go into them if they had a pre-existing condition.
Right.
Why would we do that again? Mm. That's kind of stupid. But what else is Eric Hovde against?
Yes.
Affordable healthcare, basically. Mm. He wants higher deductibles. 576. Mm. Let's play that cut. It's higher deductibles. You heard me right. He wants higher deductibles.
Okay.
And I think we should operate with a bit higher deductible where it forces people to really go out and be smart consumers. Mm. But then, you know, if something bad happens, then they have
a
that
higher deductible.
In case of, you know, something very significant.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Higher deductible. Can't afford it. Why go to the doctor? Stay home. He also wants to get rid of employer health insurance, which a lot of people depend on. 575. Mm-hmm. Let's play that track.
Okay.
I think we need to take health insurance, more from a corporate standpoint, business standpoint, providing it for employees, to a personal. Think of every other insurance you buy in your life, your home, your auto, anything else you buy individually.
And you shop.
Yeah.
Many people shop.
Oh, that's such a good idea. You shop. That's all. You just shop. By the way, I think you can do that on the exchange and the marketplace.
Yeah.
The Affordable Care Act. That's what it's all about, shopping. All the insurance companies are right there for you to check out, look at their wares, and pick one.
Pick one out. Yeah.
How about buying insurance across state lines? One more, 574 here.
Okay.
I think we need to remove these mini monopolies in every state. It's arcane when it comes to where you can buy your health care insurance. I mean, why do we allow this? We're in the 21st century.
Well, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. Because now if you have an insurance company from out of state, and by the way, what happened was they ran this idea across all these insurance companies and they said, no, we don't necessarily want to go to another state. So they actually turned down the idea of going to other states and having insurance there. But anyway, having insurance from an out-of-state provider is really a bad idea because they're not close to the people in the state. Mm-hmm. They can do anything they want. They don't even have to pay the premium. They don't have to even pay for some of the services. They can turn down treatments as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't affect them because they're not in the same state. If they were in the same state with you, with their health care group that they have you going to, mm-hmm. They're going to make sure you're getting the care that you need, because if they didn't, they would lose you. It would be part of the state. People would obviously know that, and they would lose customers left and right because they're here, and it would affect them personally because they're in the state. If they're out of state, they don't care. You know, mm-hmm. whatever happens to you in your state, fine. See you later. Yep. We're all over the place. We don't need you. And that is the problem with buying insurance from a carrier that is out of state. And the insurance carriers, by the way, turned that idea down. So Eric Hovde is still on it. He's still on it. And this is what he promises. I don't know. You know, maybe he's okay. Maybe he has a lot of money where he can buy anything he wants. He can go to the doctor anytime he wants. He can pay high deductibles if he wants.
He owns a bank in California.
That's right.
He's the CEO.
So he probably owns a hospital on top of it. You know, the whole thing here is that healthcare should be universal. Everybody should have it. We should call every hospital our hospital. We should call every doctor our doctor. Mm-hmm. We don't ever get a surprise bill in the mail. We are never charged. We're not turned down. We can get anything. We don't have to have Medicaid anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have Medicare anymore. Everybody gets health insurance, birth to death. That's the way it should be.
729 News, Weather, and Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report. Coming back with comedian Nathan Timmel.
We'll be right back to the action right after this message.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses, available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
I bought an extra large one.
Yes.
So... yeah, well, I thought it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Mad Radio WMDX 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting live from Madison State Street. Again, just down the block from the Capitol.
It is 7:35. It's cloudy, 39 degrees. We have rain this morning, more rain on the way this afternoon and tonight, and high today in the mid-50s.
That's right.
And we want to welcome our guest to the show, Nathan Timmel, comedian extraordinaire, joins us this morning. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. Yes, thank you for having me. I want to quick jump in and say I assume the sponsored by noses thing was planned, because as I logged in, your producer said, "Hey, I see you. I'll let you know when we go to commercial and we're ready." And I said, "You got it. I'm here, and I'll stop picking my nose soon." That was the chat I had with him.
I didn't even think about that, actually, but yes.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And here we are, sponsored by noses.
He took a shot at you with that. All right. Yeah, well, we heard from you, and we thought, you know, you have some kind of comedy special coming up. We don't know anything about it, and you're going to debut the whole idea with us on the show this morning. What's happening? What's your comedy special all about?
Well, here's the deal. I am not a trailblazer. I am a bandwagoner. What has happened recently is comedians have started saying, you know what? I'm not going to wait for Netflix. I'm not going to wait for HBO.
Yeah.
Because I was born in Madison. I now live in Iowa City. It's like a mini Madison, same sort of college vibe, but smaller. Hollywood doesn't know I exist. So what I did is I spent my own money to hire a production company and put it on YouTube for the world to see. I created a stand-up comedy special called Nathan Timmel Unapologetic.
Excellent. All right.
So it's on YouTube right now, huh?
It's on YouTube right now. I just debuted a little while ago. And I did something nice, I think, that makes my wife angry. She is all about the money, whereas I said... she wanted me to put ad breaks in the special. And I said, no, no, I don't want YouTube deciding that you know, in the middle of a joke, knock, knock, who's there? Noses. We present, you know, Tide Pods, the pods you love to eat, whatever. Mm-hmm. So no ads in the YouTube special, just free for people to sit down and watch unencumbered by sponsorship.
Very wise to do that.
All right. Now, you mentioned you're from Wisconsin. Give us a little history here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. A little history. Used to be able to name everywhere I lived. I moved 10 times before I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think I got to 7 earlier. So I was born in Madison. I don't remember the order because I was very young. I eventually lived in Amherst, Oconomowoc, Appleton, Milwaukee. I ended up going back to Milwaukee and attending the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I don't know if you know much about it, but at the time their slogan was, "We're like high school with tuition." And
right?
When you can't get into Madison, Milwaukee's your backup college.
Yeah.
Did I spend Kenosha, maybe La Crosse? It all becomes a fog. And then I know then Interlochen, Michigan, and
Gertie's got about 15, right?
Something like that. Similar. Yeah.
Why did you move so much? What happened?
Dad got fired a lot.
Well, was he in radio too?
I know the DJs move around a lot. Yes. No, he had how do I put this nicely? I'll tell it like this.
Okay.
When you were a child and growing up, you just understand what you're told. And what I was told was, that manager had it in for me. Oh, that supervisor had it in for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you become an adult, you get older, and you're suddenly, wait a second, Dad, common denominator here is you. So I think he may have been a little headstrong is a nice way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of business was he in? Was he salesman or do you know?
No, it was like management of management. He was supposed to teach managers how to be better managers, if I remember correctly.
An efficiency expert.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it? You know, our parents really never told us what they did exactly. In fact, sometimes they didn't even tell you what their job was, the company they worked for. Yeah. Way back in the 50s and 60s, it was crazy.
And 70s and 80s, they just went to work. It was designation.
They kept that tradition alive. Yeah.
So Nathan, when did you decide to become a comedian? When did that hit you? What got you started?
Oh goodness, long story that I'll try and make short. If I'm being honest, it was the unknown comic on the Gong Show. This guy has a paper bag on his head, and you know I'm too young to know what's going on. I just remember that. Every time he would start telling jokes, the panel would fight because one person either wanted to gong him and the other two did not, or two wanted to gong and one. There was always a fight over how long, and I noticed it became a running gag.
Sure.
That he was always asked back, but always gonged. And something about that struck me. I just enjoyed it. And then after that, we're talking the days of albums, record albums.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, this was Kakana. My grandmother lived in Kakana, and when I would visit her, she would take me to the store sometimes and buy records. And one day I passed a record that had a picture of a guy on the front pretending to pick his nose. He was sitting on a stool. It was called Class Clown. And I didn't know anything about anything, but I knew that a guy pretending to pick his nose was funny. So I said, buy me that. And she didn't know any better. And the next thing you know, I have George Carlin's Class Clown.
Right.
And I am a third, fourth grader walking around saying these seven dirty words you can't say on television.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was a hit with the kids, not so much with the parents.
And when did you first get on stage to you know, like at an open mic or something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us all the way back. I go through high school. I get into music. I start playing in a band. Then I go to college. I graduate from college with a degree in English and say, wow, I am unemployable. And
right?
I have this flash that says, wait, I always loved stand-up comedy. So after that five-year-old with the unknown comic and George Carlin gets all the way into his 20s and rediscovers comedy. And I don't know the date or the year or my age because I'm bad with that. Don't ask me what year I was married. I don't remember. It was either 2008, 9, or 10. But it was after college, and I went to the Safe House in Milwaukee that had a Thursday night open microphone, and I never looked back. And then I would go that I Madison had two comedy clubs at the time, one called The Funny Business and the other called Laugh Lines. Mm-hmm. And I basically lived at those every open mic every weekend.
And Funny Business was on the second story on State Street. Do you remember what was below Funny Business at that time?
It was a restaurant. I don't remember what, but not to correct you.
Yeah.
Funny Business started across the street and a store down from when it became
True.
The second floor
True.
Comedy
it kept
club.
Moving. Yeah.
It moved across the street and up and then, yeah. What do you remember what the restaurant was?
I think it was McDonald's or Burger King or something like that.
No, it was ethnic. It was either Greek or
but I think it was, then it turned into a Taco Bell, I believe.
This is okay. Maybe later, but it used to be Greek or Italian or okay. Mexican. It was a actual restaurant. For okay. a
well, that's that well, sounds it, like State Street to me.
Yes. So high then, turnover.
Yeah. Nathan, if at some point you mentioned before we went on the air, you went out to L.A., right?
I did. I went to Los Angeles and I did everything wrong. If there are any aspiring comedians out there, yeah. let me give you advice right now.
Okay.
Don't if go. You go to New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, anywhere you go, rub elbows, hobnob, glad hand, be a politician. I am basically an introvert, so I would go. I passed my test at the improv. I was allowed to call in for stage time. I never got any because you are supposed to go there every single night and hang out every single night, all night. So they get to know you. They get comfortable with you. And then when they need someone, they go, oh, yeah, Tim is sitting over there. I recognize his face. He's here mm-hmm. all the time. Put him on stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. I just went and, you know, stood on stage, got funny and went home. Don't go home. Stay out all night. Let them get to know yep. you. And you have much greater chances for success. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's good advice for all you struggling comedians out there from Nathan
yes,
Timmel.
What, yeah. What's that?
I'm yeah. sure Gordy's going to get into stand-up right now.
Oh, you think
yeah.
so?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
See, we're our studios are right above Comedy on State. We're on the second
oh,
floor here.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Have you appeared there yet? Or would you like to get an appearance? Maybe we can get you booked
he
in
can,
there.
He can set you up.
Yeah?
Gordy can set
oh,
you up.
Oh, then yeah. set yeah. me up. I would love to because, as I said, my mom lives in Madison, so it's a good excuse to have a working vacation. Take yeah. the grandkids and the missus and come back home to visit my mom and yeah. get to go out and tell jokes at night after.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, we know people. I know people. You know, we can talk to Mark. We'll talk to Mike Mercury.
We were talking about Mike Mercury being a common friend to all of us here on the show. We had Mike Mercury on our cable access show on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That was his jumping off point to success.
Yeah. He and Dave Gray, they were good buddies, and we had them on the show a number of times together. Unfortunately, Dave passed away a number of years ago.
Yeah.
But Mike's done very well for himself. Yeah.
Yes.
And you mentioned doing something in corporate work. You write a comedian for corporations? You go.
I have become a chameleon. Yeah. I've become a chameleon in my comedy. The older I get, I am no longer. When I was young and headstrong, it was, this is my art. Uh-huh. I will tell jokes the way I want to.
Yeah.
And then I got older and I realized if I'm asked, okay, this I'm going to go sideways here. Stay with me.
Okay.
One of my favorite artists is Peter Gabriel. Mm-hmm. And I probably listened to his Melty Face album, I think it's number 3,000 times, before reading an interview where he said, well, the drummer was kind of upset because I took all his cymbals away before recording. And I went, what? And then I listened to it again and realized I had never realized that the album has no cymbals on it. He was challenging the drummer to, instead of play a hi-hat or a ride or go pa 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 to find something different to do. He was taking away, I would say, crutches mm-hmm. to challenge the drummer as an artist, as a musician. So to relate that to myself, to me, I started to realize, oh, if a corporate show wants clean or this kind of jokes or not... Mm-hmm. I can pivot. I'm still me, but I can tell jokes in their vein. Or if I'm doing a bar and the TVs are on, how do I get their attention and tell jokes they want to hear? If I'm in a traditional comedy club and everybody's focused, I can tell jokes. So the corporate show is very interesting. You have people that may not be all into comedy or are just waiting for the door prizes at the end of the night to see if they got a bonus. Mm-hmm. How do I get their attention? So instead of being a pure artist, I have become someone that says, Well, I can challenge myself to shift to meet their needs, not by selling out, but like by saying, all right, you're here, I'm here. What can I bring to the table to keep you interested? And one of the most challenging places to do that is the corporate show.
Right.
So yeah, I used to fear them. Now I enjoy them.
But they give you tips on what to talk about, right?
They give you tips kind of like the simple, they say like no politics, don't make fun of this person, don't talk, okay. You know, they take away a lot. Mm-hmm. One of my first ones, they said, hey, this is our new president, make fun of him. So I did. And afterward, he was not happy. He let me, and it's funny because his wife and teenage son were there and they said, oh, we loved it. That was hilarious. And he was all grumpy pants saying, oh, I didn't like it at all. And I said, it's because I made fun. He goes, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, that's fair. You don't have to have a sense of humor about yourself.
Yeah. Did you get the check, though, from him?
I did get the check.
Okay, good.
The person in human resources that hired and paid me may not have gotten a paycheck after that, but they lived up to their obligations to me.
Well, at least you weren't blackballed.
All right. Yeah.
I may have been from that company.
Yeah, maybe.
That was Decatur, Illinois.
Oh, Decatur. Okay.
And because Mike Mercury does the same thing, he does corporate comedy as well. Yeah, you guys are together now. You're working together, basically, right? He's booking comedy spots for you as well, correct?
We're working together in that he is a boss and I am an employee because he has been wheeling and dealing and making connections. And so he has been kind enough to hire me for some of his gigs.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, Nathan, it's great to talk with you. We want to talk with you again. Let's keep the door open, and we'll get you a gig over here in Madison and get you in the studio here, too. And again, if people want to see your comedy special, they go to YouTube. And what do they search for there?
Just go to NathanTimmel.com. Everything is at NathanTimmel.com.
Great.
Right. Stop shopping.
Hey, very
thanks,
good.
Guys.
Good having you, man. Thank
thanks,
you.
Nathan. We'll talk again. 7:49, coming back with this, that, and the other, and more.
If you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
We ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
The day we eat all the leftovers.
And I'll just have leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
Oh, we love leftovers. All the flavors are combined.
Oh, yeah.
Just reheat it.
Sometimes it's the best stuff. Mad Radio, 93.7 WMDX, John and Gordy. It's a Monday morning. Hey, I want to remind you another time here before we get to 8 o'clock, the key word here for our Ride into Spring contest, the key word for this hour is vacation, okay? Vacation is the key word. Get on your Civic Media app and enter that into the text there and get into the contest. You could be a big winner. You could win an overnight stay to Chula Vista or one of many prizes that we'll be giving away during the contest. Again, vacation is the keyword, John.
All right. Excellent.
All right. Okay.
All right. Let's get all to right. Chuck Todd, who's really mad at Chuck NBC Todd. News because, well, they hired Rhona McDaniel, and she was the former chair of the RNC, and she supported everything that Trump was talking about. Everything.
So let's set this up. Chuck Todd hosted Meet the Press, you know, after Tim Russert died. He was appointed the host of Meet the Press, and he did it for, you know, quite a number of years.
Quite a long time.
And then he got replaced by Kristen Welker not too long ago. Right. I don't know, half a year or so ago, maybe longer. I don't know. But so, yesterday comes along, and she's got Rhona McDaniel as a guest there. But Rhona McDaniel's actually been hired by NBC News. She had been let go by the Trump folks when they came in and
they fired her.
Kicked everybody out of the RNC, the Republican.
It's now the MAGA party.
It's the MAGA
no
party.
No longer Republican.
And Trump put his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, in there.
Yeah.
So, Rhona McDaniel, looking for a gig, got a gig with NBC News. But they had already booked her for this appearance, apparently, before she got fired. So Kristen Welker just, you know, well, she's a guest. Now she's a contributor. Anyway, she got on there, and guess what? She said, you know, Biden is the president. Yeah, it was all, you know, we were
taking it all back.
Taking
now.
It all back that there was something wrong with the election, and so let's take it from there, right?
Okay, all right, let's play.
Here's what Chuck Todd had to say after the interview. He came out on set and said this.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. It's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
What?
So, yeah, there you have it. Now, Rona McDaniel, during that interview, she finally admitted Joe Biden won the 2020 presidential election. He won it fair and square. All of these things. He won it. It's certified. It's done, she said. I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I think so.
To say that does not mean he's not the legitimate president. So she basically just threw it all out there. And good for Chuck Todd for, saying all that. I wonder if there was another meeting after that with the NBC brass.
Yeah.
You got to expect.
If they just dropped it and let it go, he said what he said. He needed to say it. I mean, to hold any kind of credibility at the station. There were a lot of people criticizing Chuck Todd for saying that, because a lot of the anchors on MSNBC and NBC are just anchors. They're not actual reporters or news people. Right. But what he's talking about is news credibility. The actual news people, not the hosts who aren't reporters, aren't really news people.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, we're oftentimes tagged as reporters or news people. I was actually once.
Yeah.
I was on CNN with Vicki McKenna,
right?
And they were asking our opinion about the election and all that kind of stuff, and they referred to us as reporters.
So, really?
Okay, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah,
we'll add that to the resume.
Well, this is just an odd situation where they hired Rona McDaniel after she got fired, but they didn't tell.
But she was like the face of the RNC.
She
really, truly was.
Yeah,
and when you see her, it's like, man, I'm not going to believe this person. Why would I ever listen to this person?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of people who used to be Republicans that are now doing talk appearances, like Charlie Sykes.
Mm-hmm.
But you listen to them and they're saying smart things and you agree with some of the things they're saying. But really, Rona McDaniel, I'm having a hard time visualizing this.
Well, yeah. Well, and we'll have to watch what the fallout is after this, after this confrontation, really, with Chuck Todd and the NBC management there. Let's see how long his job lasts there. I don't know. Or maybe it'll all come out and, they'll have some kind of statement after this. We'll see.
Perhaps, you know, perhaps. We'll see how it all works out. Okay.
We'll track it for you.
Well, yeah, we'll keep track.
We're reporters.
That's right.
John and Gordy.
That's what we do.
Reporting
here.
Team here. It is 7:58. We're all out of time. It's 7:58.
Really is.
Remember that key word, vacation. If you're still doing right into spring, you got another minute to text that into us. We hope you have a great day. So long.
Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy.